This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello everyone, this is John Pauly with this week's edition of Los Anaville Times. I've been reading from the book Cincinnati Reds Fun Facts book. It's written by Trivia Ape and is just a couple of years ago, so it's very current. Then we've gotten now to the chapter which talks about the team's charitable initiatives and community involvement. The Reds Community Fund has invested millions in youth programs and community fields across the Cincinnati region. The Reds have been involved in the Major League Baseball Reviving Baseball in Inner Cities, RBI program, aiming to promote baseball in inner cities. The Reds Rookie Success League, a free co-ed character building program, introduces baseball to kids in a fun, safe environment. And now we have some more charitable initiatives and community involvement. The team annually supports the P&G MLB Cincinnati Reds Youth Academy, offering year-round education and baseball or softball training for urban youth. The Marty Brenneman Golf Classic, an annual event, has raised millions of dollars for the Reds Community Fund. The Joey Votto Foundation supports military families and youth with mental health issues. Reds Fest, an annual fan festival, includes numerous charitable activities and fundraisers. The Reds have hosted Make-A-Wish events, granting wishes to children with critical illnesses. The team has supported MLB initiatives like Stand Up to Cancer and Breast Cancer Awareness. Players regularly visit the Cincinnati Children's Hospital, spending time with patients and their families. The Reds Hall of Fame and Museum offers educational programs and initiatives for students. The Team Smile program is supported by the Reds, providing dental care to underserved youth. Baseball-themed reading programs in local schools and libraries have been supported by the Reds. The Reds partner with Taste of the NFL, raising money to tackle hunger. The Home Base program offers free game tickets to underserved kids, giving them an opportunity to experience a live game. Players often support autograph signings, where proceeds go to charitable causes. Brandon Phillips established a scholarship fund to help students from Cincinnati Public Schools. The Reds support the Green Diamond Gallery's Wright Society program, offering baseball and softball opportunities to children. Red Legs Run, an annual event, raises funds for the Reds Community Fund. The team collaborates with local food banks during the holidays, helping feed the needy. The Reds participate in MLB's Play Ball initiative, promoting baseball and softball participation. Numerous Reds players have hosted baseball clinics as charitable endeavors. The Reds Bowling Bash is another fun event that raises funds for the Reds Community Fund. The Straight A program rewards students for academic excellence and improvement with game tickets. And the Reds have worked with Toys for Tots, ensuring children receive gifts during the holiday season. And that wraps up the team's charitable initiatives and community involvement. Now we go to trivia about the team's owners and ownership changes. The Cincinnati Reds Stockings, established in 1869, were the first professional baseball team and were owned by a group of local businessmen. Next, Marge Schott became the Reds' majority owner in 1984 and was one of the few women to own a major league club. She was known for her controversial remarks and actions. Bob Castellini became the principal owner in 2006 and has emphasized reconnecting with fans and the community. August Herrmann, H-E-R-R-M-A-N-N, who owned the Reds from 1902 to 1927, was instrumental in establishing the World Series format. Under the ownership of Powell Crawsley Jr., the Reds became the first Major League Baseball team to have night games in 1935. Bill DeWitt owned the Reds during the 1960s and later sold his stake, eventually becoming involved with the St. Louis Cardinals. In the early 20th century, Gary Herrmann served as the Reds' president and was also a key figure in the National Commission, which oversaw baseball before the establishment of the commissioner's office. Carl Lindner became the majority owner in the 1999 season, and his ownership period saw a new ballpark and several roster changes. George Boss Cox, a powerful Cincinnati politician, had significant influence over the Reds in the early 20th century. Lou Nippert was a minority owner of the Reds and played a key role in keeping the team in Cincinnati during financial struggles in the 1980s. Francis L. Dale acquired a majority stake in the Reds in the 1967 season and oversaw significant team successes during his tenure. In 2015, minority ownership stakes were acquired by Frank Cohen and Rusty Ruff, that's R-U-E-F-F, diversifying the Reds' ownership group. Bernard Hochberg was a notable owner in the 1930s, overseeing some tough years for the team. Joe and Rianne Allen held ownership stakes in the 1970s during one of the most successful periods in Reds history. Under the guidance of Robert Housem in the 1970s, who wasn't an owner but a general manager, the Reds saw a transformative era leading to the Big Red Machine's dominance. Warren Giles, before becoming the National League president, was instrumental in the Reds' operations during his tenure as general manager. In the early years, Julius Fleischman was involved in the ownership and was key to the Reds' early successes. James Gamble of Procter & Gamble fame was a minority owner of the Reds in the late 19th century. In the 1950s, Bill DeWitt bought the Reds and later traded Frank Robinson, a decision that's still discussed among fans. Tom Williams was a minority owner during Marge Schott's tenure and was pivotal in the team's 1990 World Series win. The ownership of E.W. Scripps Company in the early 1900s saw the Reds have both good and challenging seasons. In 2005, the ownership led by Carl Lindner sold the team to a group led by current owner Bob Castellini. Under Powell Crawsley Jr., the Reds saw an era of innovation, including the introduction of night games. Larry Shakley, a Cincinnati businessman, acquired a minority ownership stake in 2005. And last, Tom L. Williams took over as the Reds' chairman after Bob Castellini and has been instrumental in recent team decisions. Next up, we have memorable fan interactions with players. In 1985, during Pete Rose's chase for the all-time hit record, he often interacted with fans, signing countless autographs and taking photos. Joey Votto once gave a fan his bat and jersey after accidentally interacting with him on a foul ball. I don't know if it was accidental. Ken Griffey Jr., in his tenure with the Reds, would often play impromptu catch with young fans before games. Barry Larkin frequently engaged in long conversations with fans near the dugout during warmups. After his no-hitter in 2012, Homer Bailey handed over the game ball to a fan as a gesture of appreciation. A fan once caught a home run ball hit by Adam Dunn that traveled outside of Great American Ballpark, and Dunn later met the fan and signed the ball. In 2019, Amir Garrett gave his cleats to a young fan who was holding a sign asking for them. During the 1970s, Johnny Bench was known to randomly seat himself next to fans in the stands before games, engaging in casual conversations. On multiple occasions, Brandon Phillips played tic-tac-toe with fans through the dirt of the infield during game delays. In 2014, Todd Frazier fulfilled a promise to hit a home run for a fan named Teddy Kramer, who was serving as an honorary bat boy. During his time with the Reds, Jay Bruce frequently gifted signed baseballs to fans celebrating birthdays or special events. In 2017, Scooter Jeanette hit 4 home runs in a game and later interacted with fans who caught the balls, exchanging memorabilia. After a particularly impactful home run, Eric Davis once handed his batting gloves to a young fan while running back to the dugout. Fans have fond memories of Sean Casey, the mayor, and his constant interactions, smiles, and conversations with them. During the 1990 World Series, Chris Sabo gifted a pair of his iconic goggles to a fan holding a sign requesting them. In 2021, Nick Castellanos handed a young fan his bat after seeing a heartwarming sign about their shared experiences. After hitting a game-winning home run, Eugenio Suarez once handed the batting gloves he used to a pair of young fans waiting by the dugout. In 2015, Billy Hamilton raced a fan on the warning track after a game, creating a memorable interaction. During a rain delay in 2016, Michael Lorenzen came out of the dugout to play rock, paper, scissors with fans. Joe Morgan was known to frequently engage with fans at the ballpark, offering baseball advice and taking photos. In a touching interaction, Bronson Arroyo once sang a song with a fan who brought a guitar to the ballpark. Fans often reminisce about George Foster's impromptu baseball clinics, where he'd teach kids in the stands about the fundamentals during warmups. During a fan appreciation event, Tom Seaver once hosted a mini pitching clinic for young fans. In 2018, Jesse Winker frequently handed out cups of water to fans sitting near the field during hot summer games. In the last memorable fan interaction with players, Aroldis Chapman, during his time as the Reds' closer, once gave a fan the cap off his head as a thank you for their loud support. And now we move on to pitchers over the years. Bucky Walters was a key figure for the Reds in the late 1930s and 1940s, winning the Most Valuable Player Award as a pitcher in 1939. Tom Seaver joined the Reds in 1977 and threw a no-hitter for them in 1978. And just as a sidebar, that was the only no-hitter he threw in his entire career, many years with the New York Mets. Jose Rijo played a pivotal role in the Reds' 1990 World Series win, earning the series' Most Valuable Player Award. Jim Maloney is remembered for his no-hitters and dominance in the 1960s for the Reds. Dolph Luque, playing in the early 20th century, remains one of the Reds' all-time leaders in pitching wins. Mario Soto was a bright spot for the Reds in the 1980s, known for his devastating changeup. I'd love to know what his stats would be, wins and losses, if he had a good team playing with him. John Franco became one of the game's best relievers during his tenure with the Reds in the 1980s. Danny Graves is the Reds' all-time saves leader. Aroldis Chapman became a fan favorite with his 100-plus mile-per-hour fastball and his role as the team's closer. And as a sidebar, the first year the Reds went out to Goodyear, Arizona, my wife and I went out there to Goodyear and saw the Reds play, and Aroldis Chapman was quite a spectacle. A lot of radar guns behind home plate watching him throw his game. Next, we have Bronson Arroyo. He was known for his consistency and unique leg kick, becoming a mainstay in the Reds' rotation in the 2000s. Gary Nolan was a key figure for the Reds' pitching staff during the Big Red Machine era. Johnny Vandermeer is famously known for his back-to-back no-hitters in 1938. Homer Bailey, despite his ups and downs, threw two no-hitters for the Reds. Don Gullett was an essential part of the Reds' rotation in the 1970s and played a pivotal role in their World Series wins. Clay Carroll was a dominant reliever for the Reds in the 1970s, earning the nickname Hawk. Norm Charlton, a member of the Nasty Boys relief trio, was known for his fiery competitiveness. Rob Dibble, another Nasty Boy, was known for his overpowering fastball and intense demeanor. Epa Rixey is the Reds' all-time leader in wins, making his mark in the 1920s and 1930s. Paul Derringer was another key pitcher for the Reds in the 1930s and early 1940s. Tom Browning is fondly remembered for his perfect game in 1988. Ted Abernathy, with his submarine delivery, was one of the Reds' top relievers in the 1960s. Jim O'Toole was a mainstay in the Reds' rotation in the 60s, helping them to a pennant in 1961. Francisco Cordero served as the Reds' closer in the late 2000s, accumulating over 150 saves with the team. Wayne Granger was one of baseball's top relievers in the late 1960s and early 1970s with the Reds. And last, pitchers over the years, Scott Sullivan was known for his durability, often leading the league in appearances during his time with the Reds in the late 1990s and early 2000s. And next up, we have hitters over the years. We just had the pitchers. It's only fair we now have hitters over the years. Pete Rose, the all-time Major League Baseball hits leader, collected 4,256 hits over his illustrious career. Johnny Bench, considered one of the best catchers in baseball history, won two Most Valuable Player awards with the Reds. Joe Morgan, a key component of the Big Red Machine, won back-to-back Most Valuable Player awards in 1975 and 1976. Frank Robinson was a dominant force for the Reds in the 1950s and 1960s, winning the MVP award in 1961. And as a sidebar, after being traded to the Orioles, he won the Most Valuable Player award there too. Tony Perez was a consistent run producer for the Reds during their dominant years in the 1970s. Barry Larkin, a lifetime Red, won the Most Valuable Player award in 1995 and is remembered as one of the best shortstops of his era. Veda Pinson was a standout player in the late 1950s and 1960s, amassing over 2,000 700 hits in his career. Adam Dunn was known for his prodigious power hitting, over 40 home runs in four consecutive seasons with the Reds. George Foster was a key power hitter for the Reds in the 1970s, leading the league in home runs multiple times. Joey Votto, known for his incredible on-base skills, won the Most Valuable Player Award in 2010. Eric Davis showcased a unique blend of power and speed, once joining the 30-30 club by hitting 37 home runs and stealing 50 bases in 1987. Ted Kluszewski was a dominant hitter in the 1950s, known for his sleeveless jerseys showcasing his large arms. Wally Post was another strong slugger for the Reds in the 1950s and early 1960s. Dan Dreesen took over first base after Tony Perez's departure and provided consistent offense for the Reds in the late 1970s and early 1980s. Ken Griffey Jr. joined the Reds in 2000, and while battling injuries, showcased his legendary hitting prowess. Brandon Phillips was known for his flair and consistent hitting from the second base position, accumulating over 1,800 hits with the Reds. Dave Parker had a few standout seasons with the Reds in the mid-1980s, including winning a Silver Slugger Award in 1985. Sean Casey, nicknamed the Mayor, was a fan favorite and a consistent hitter, averaging .305 over his tenure with the Reds. Eugenio Suarez set a Reds record for most home runs by a third baseman in a season with 49 in 2019. Jay Bruce provided steady power for the Reds in the 2010s, including hitting 30-plus home runs in three consecutive seasons. Ernie Lombardi, playing in the 1930s and 1940s, was known for his strong hitting, winning two batting titles with the Reds. And I remember, this is another sidebar, I remember with my dad talking about Ernie Lombardi, how slow he was. He could not run with any speed at all. Lee May, playing first base in the late 1960s and early 1970s, was a consistent run producer before being traded in a key deal for Joe Morgan. And Joe Morgan had been with Houston before that trade. Reggie Sanders in the 1990s showcased a strong power-speed combo, including a 30-30 season in 1995. Todd Frazier was a fan favorite in the early 2010s, known for his clutch hitting and 2015 home run derby win in Cincinnati. And lastly, hitters over the years, Ken Griffey Sr. was a consistent hitter for the Reds in the 1970s and was part of the iconic outfield trio with Foster and Geronimo. And again, that was Big Red Machine. And that, well, that wraps up the book, it looks like. So if you'd like to read more books, Trivia Ape has put together quite a few of them. You can Google them, and they have lots of different books available. And Trivia Ape actually even has a book about the Cincinnati Bengals fun facts with over 1,000 fun facts. And they have this little blurb on one of the last pages of the book here. Did you love Cincinnati Reds fun facts? Then you should read Cincinnati Bengals fun facts by Trivia Ape. Discover the ultimate fan experience with the Cincinnati Bengals fun fact book, an exciting journey through the rich history and legendary moments of this iconic NFL team. Packed with over 1,000 detailed fun facts, this family-friendly book is designed to challenge and entertain fans of all ages while deepening their knowledge of the Cincinnati Bengals. Immerse yourself in the heart-pounding action, unforgettable plays, and standout players that have defined their legacy. From thrilling rivalries and historic divisional matchups to legendary offensive star players and iconic stadium facts, each question provides a captivating glimpse into the team's remarkable journey. Unearth captivating insights into the team origins, relive iconic victories, and celebrate the achievements of Hall of Fame players who have graced the field for this epic franchise. With a careful balance of challenging facts and accessible content, readers will learn fascinating facts, engage in spirited discussions, and proudly display their Cincinnati Bengals expertise. Whether you're a lifelong fan looking to increase your knowledge or a newcomer eager to learn about their storied past, the Cincinnati Bengals Fun Facts book is your go-to source for immersive entertainment. And it says you can read more at Trivia Apes site. And let's see, next we have also by Trivia Ape. And just to give you an idea, they have all kinds of books with trivia. They have 50 States Trivia. They have NFL team trivias like the Kansas City Chiefs, Chicago Bears, Green Bay Packers, Minnesota Vikings, Denver Broncos, Detroit Lions, Las Vegas Raiders, Los Angeles Chargers, Pittsburgh Steelers, Baltimore Ravens, the Bengals, the Browns, the Bills, the Dolphins, the Colts, the Patriots, the Jets, the Titans, the Jaguars, the Houston Texans, and the Washington Commanders. And let's not forget Dallas Cowboys, New York Giants, Philadelphia Eagles, Atlanta Falcons, San Francisco 49ers, Seattle Seahawks, Arizona Cardinals, Los Angeles Rams, New Orleans Saints, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Whew. So they've got, it's got to be just like every NFL team. And then they've got some for college teams too. Alabama Crimson Tide and Carolina Panthers, Georgia Bulldogs. Then they have a bunch more baseball ones, Boston Red Sox, Houston Astros, Chicago Cubs, Los Angeles Dodgers, San Francisco Giants, Atlanta Braves, Baltimore Orioles, Milwaukee Brewers, New York Mets, Philadelphia Phillies, Chicago White Sox, Tampa Bay Rays. So they've got a bunch of those. Oh, they also have more colleges, Notre Dame, Colorado Buffaloes, Ohio State Buckeyes, Michigan Wolverines, Texas Longhorns. They have boxer fun facts. They also have, more football ones, college ones. They've got a lot. At any rate, that'll wrap it up for this book and also for Losantiville Times for this week. This is John Pauley for Radio Reading Service and the Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Have a great week.